Heavenly Father, we are excited to be here. We know that our hope is in you, and we don't want to go anywhere where you don't lead. Father, just as Moses said to you that you gave him the land, you said, go and take the land, but I'm not going with you. And he refused to go. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would refuse to go where you don't lead us, that you would guide and direct us. We would be sensitive to your spirit, Lord. And this morning, as we hear this truth from Solomon, I pray, Father, that you give us each a discerning and wise heart, that we might apply what we hear today. Father, prepare each one of us, prepare the hearing and the speaking, that in all things you might be glorified and exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're doing a series in the book of Proverbs. Last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 1. Hey, good to see you, Penny. Sorry. I'm just like, Penny's here. Sorry, I'm just excited to see you. Oh, and Ashley's here too. Sorry, I'm going to get back to the thing. I won't mention that John's here either. Okay. So we're doing a series in the book of Proverbs. Solomon, as you know, was a very wise person, and he offered this book for the nation of Israel, that those, especially the young people, would have wisdom and a wise heart. So I got to thinking about wisdom and wondered, what is it that you do, for example, when it comes to your money? Everyone in this room, when it comes to your money, you want to make good decisions. You don't want to make bad decisions, right? You want to guard it and protect it. You want to seek wisdom from those who might know how to tell you how to save it or invest it or to spend it. And most everyone in this room, if you're going to go spend some of your hard-earned money on some product, maybe a saw. Yeah, a saw. Excellent idea. You're going to go buy a saw. You're going to go check out the internet. You're going to do consumer reports. Look at the product reviews. You're going to use some wisdom. So all of us, before we spend our money, are looking for wisdom. And so I got to think, do you recall the financial services firm in the 70s and 80s called E.F. Hutton? It said, you know, the tagline was, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. The idea was that you could trust, if you wanted wise financial advice, you could trust what they had to say. So I'm sharing this with you. I don't know if it's ready, if you remember this. You know, I don't think they're in existence anymore. You know, King Solomon's words are still lasting 3,000 years later, and I think this company's gone. Anyway, so when I am seeking money, or when I'm seeking wisdom with my money, and all of us do this, we look to worldly sources, you know, consumer reports or product reviews. We're seeking wisdom in terms of financial advice. We look to the world. But when we seek godly wisdom, who do we go to? Where do we go to? Oftentimes we look to a friend, or maybe we go to the internet and do some searching, but we are to look in Scripture. When Solomon, who was the king, when Solomon became the king of Israel at a young age, what did he seek for himself? What did he seek for himself? Or what did he seek for the entire nation? He didn't seek fame, right? He didn't seek wealth. He didn't seek long life or long reign. This is what the Bible says when God gave him the opportunity. He said this. Solomon said, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. And God said to him, I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. So if King Solomon had his own TV commercial today, the tagline would be, when King Solomon speaks, people listen. And that's what the book of Proverbs is. Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. He wrote these words. But when King Solomon speaks, it's not just ordinary, everyday people like you and me that listen. Famous people, powerful people, influential people speak or come to hear him. In 1 Kings 4, it says, "And kings from every nation sent their ambassador to listen to the wisdom of Solomon." Now think about that. If he lived in our world today, wherever he lived, nations would be sending their ambassadors, if they didn't come themselves, to come and listen to the wisdom of King Solomon. And look at what we have in our hands today. We have a book where he articulated all these important points for us to live wise lives. He talks about this purpose. The purpose in Proverbs chapter 1, 2 through 6, he says, the purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise, to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, and to help them do what is right, just, and fair. Think about this. The wisest man to have ever lived. So our goal with this series is that we would pursue wisdom. We would pursue godly habits. And who do we have as a source better than the wisest man to have ever lived? In chapter 1, Solomon is talking in the form of wisdom as a person. He's talking to the rebellious people, and he says, you know, he's warning them to be wise and not to be foolish. And here in chapter 2, he changes gears a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek for them as hidden treasure." So here in chapter 2, wisdom. It's wisdom speaks out to her children. She says, "Listen, pray, and study. Tune your ears, cry out, and search." In the Webster's Dictionary, wisdom is defined as this: knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. Most of us would recognize that that's wisdom. Or the natural ability to understand things that most people cannot understand. However, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, wisdom means skill in living, following God's design, and avoiding moral pitfalls. And the Bible Knowledge Commentary defines wisdom as this: being skilled at godly living. So to be wise means to be skilled at godly living. And so I wonder, how long does this take exactly to become skilled at godly living? I assume that there's probably dozens of us in here that have been Christians for 10 or 20 or 30 years or more. Are you more wise today, now, than when you were when you first became a Christian? Are you more skillful at godly living? Are you more holy? Solomon gives us the secret to acquiring wisdom, to being skillful at this godly living. He says that we must be attentive listeners to God's word, that we must treasure it, that we must ask for it, that is, in prayer. "God, show me how to live. Give me a kind and wise and understanding heart that I might make good choices with my life and as I lead my family, as I lead my church, as I lead my neighborhood. Give me wisdom." We must study and treasure God's holy word. These are the keys to living a successful and a godly life, a wise life according to Scripture. And this is what Solomon is getting across to us. Not wisdom that we might be smart enough with our money, that we might be smart enough with our time, but that we have a wise and understanding heart to live a godly and a holy life. This is the only true wisdom that has any real lasting value. And Jesus himself spoke of this in a parable in Matthew chapter 13. He says this. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. Notice that the key to acquiring wisdom begins with desire. You have to want this wisdom. You have the responsibility to seek it. You have the responsibility to pursue it, to find it, acquire, and then protect it. So how many of you treasure God's word? How many of you treasure this word? How many of you are seeking after God, after wisdom, to live a godly and a holy life? Wisdom that will cause you to be skillful in living a godly life. How many of you are hiding God's word in your heart that you might not sin against God? Now listen, everyone in this room would admit that if you were like the man in this parable, if you found hidden treasure on some land you did not own, you would do the same thing, wouldn't you? You'd bury it, you'd go back, you'd sell everything you can, you'd do whatever you could do humanly to pursue and acquire that. Sell everything you have to acquire that land for that treasure that is so precious and valuable. And that's what Jesus is saying with regard to wisdom, his word, and seeking after him. You probably have heard this story about Socrates. Let me share this with you. There's a story about a proud young man who came to Socrates asking for knowledge. He walked up to the philosopher and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized this pompous numbskull when he saw one. And so he led the young man through the streets, to the sea, to chest-deep water. Then he asked, "What do you want?" "Knowledge, oh wise Socrates," said the young man with a smile. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him under the water. 30 seconds later, he led him up. He said, "What do you want?" And he asked again. "Wisdom," the man sputtered. "Wisdom," the young man sputtered. "Oh, great and wise Socrates." Socrates crunched him under again. 30 seconds passed, 35, 40. Socrates led him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" Between the heavy and the heaving breaths, he wheezed, "Knowledge, oh wise and wonderful Socrates." So Socrates jammed him under the water again, this time for 45 seconds, for 50 seconds. He comes up, "What do you want?" And he yells, "Air." He screeched, "I need air." And Socrates responded, "When you want knowledge as much as you want air, then you will have knowledge." So, exactly how long does it take to become wise? Apparently 50 seconds. Obviously, it takes more than 50 seconds to become wise at godly living. However, listen. However, the journey starts with the first step. And the journey doesn't take much more than 50 seconds. The choice to seek wisdom, to acquire it, to grow, does not take that long. The Bible calls this repentance. And you can do it right now. You can do it while I'm speaking. It means making a decision to surrender your ideas, to surrender your plans and will, that is to know God and to practice what you discover here in God's word. God's word, spending time praying, searching, seeking, asking. You know, God is not going to refuse a humble and contrite heart who says, "Lord, I'm seeking wisdom that I might live a godly and a holy life, that I might be skilled." Think about what that means to have skills in godly living. For one thing, don't you think everybody would know? Oh, Doug is very skilled at godly living. I can see that. It's evidenced in the way he lives. The choice takes seconds. The first step takes seconds. Do you want it as badly as you want air? Listen, Jesus said repentance is the reason or the opportunity that we have to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 4, the very first words, public words that Jesus spoke that are recorded say this: "From then on, Jesus began to preach, that is to begin. He said, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And certainly if it was near, then it's nearer today. But this is how Jesus began his ministry. First to preach this public statement, repent. And this is how we begin our relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to turn away from selfish ambition, selfish desires, self-will, and say, "Lord, I want you. I don't want to go where you're not leading me. I don't want to be in a place where, you know, you've not said you can be there." Wise living starts with repentance. Turning away from worldly wisdom and selfish ambition. So assuming that you are there right now, you are there, you are ready to, in your heart, you say, "I'm going to surrender." This is the Sunday that in my heart, as Mel's saying, repent, surrender my life to Christ, I'm going to do it. And even if you've been a Christian for many years and you're just really not following the way that you want, that, you know, that God wants you right now. He has your attention to yield and to surrender. But the question is what do we obtain when we yield and surrender? Solomon answers this question starting in verse 5. "Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him." What did Solomon ask? "I want a wise and understanding heart." And God gave him a wise and understanding heart. This is saying that when we were seeking and we are asking, we are praying, we are pursuing, that God himself will give you wisdom to live a godly and a holy life. This reminds me of what Paul prayed to the Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians 1:9, it says this: "So we," Paul talking about himself and the other disciples, "we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. And all the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." That's Paul's prayer to the Colossians. Listen, when Solomon prayed and asked for wisdom, God gave it to him. When Paul prayed for the Colossians and said, "Give them spiritual wisdom and understanding that they might live a life that pleases you," God is hearing and answering those prayers. In my own prayer life, I recite this definitely every day. I can say that every day. Not just for myself, but those in my circle, I'm praying, "God, give them, fill them with the complete knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding in order that they would please you today." We should be praying for ourselves and for others that we have wisdom, that we might live well and right. He continues in verse 9, "Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe." Then you will understand, and it will save you. True wisdom, heavenly wisdom, serves as a guide for a life here on earth. Wisdom is being skilled in living, godly living. I want to close with this devotion from Spurgeon. Think about these questions and meditate on them. Spurgeon says, "Dear friends, examine yourselves. I do not ask you whether your hearts are perfect. They are not. I do not ask you whether your hearts never go astray, for they are prone to wander. But I do ask, is your heart resting upon Jesus Christ? Is it a believing heart? Does your heart meditate upon divine things? Is your heart a humble heart? Is it a holy heart? Do you desire holiness? Do you find pleasure in it? Is your heart bold for God? All of us right now, seeking, searching our own hearts for the answers to these questions. And pray like David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. This was David's prayer, who sought a wise and understanding heart, who sought to please and live for God. This morning, you have the opportunity to make the wisest decision you have ever made. The wisest decision that you can make is to yield and surrender totally and completely to Jesus Christ. First, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He's not holding all of your past against you. He's waiting to forgive you and wipe it clean. If you're waiting to give your life to Jesus Christ because you're waiting to clean up your own life, guess what? You will never be finished cleaning up your life. The wisest decision you can make. You can give your life to him this morning, turn away from the world, turn away from selfish ambition and self-desire, repent. Come forward and confess Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. You can have your sins forgiven, your soul cleansed, just as Peter said in Acts chapter 2. When they cried out to him, what am I supposed to do to be saved? He said to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I encourage you this morning that whatever your need is, that you yield and you surrender to Christ. If you need prayer, I would like for you to come forward. Come up here and sit down. Myself, one of the elders, will sit and pray with you. If you need to yield and surrender your life to Christ, either today or tomorrow, either this morning or sometime soon, come search me out or one of the elders and say, you know, I'm ready to yield and surrender my life to Christ. Help me to take that first step. The first step begins in your heart. And if you are ready to join this church and make this church part of your ministry, where you want to serve, you want to be part of this body, come forward for that this morning as well. So stand with me. We're going to sing the invitation song. And as we sing, if you are ready, come forward.